I'm Nikki Nolan, and this is a matter of life and death, a show about people in the United States and their student debt. Today's episode, All Debt, No Degree, 2 years later. Alicia and I got together again 2 years after the fact, and we have discussed what has happened since then. She has taken control over her debt, has good credit, and now knows how much she owes. This is her updated story. Welcome to the podcast again!
I'm happy to be back. This time with better news than maybe the first time.
Since we last talked, which was about 2 years ago, what have you been up to since we talked?
Well, first, geographically, I live in New York now, which was a lifelong dream of mine. And I have a new job, too. So before we were at the same company, and now we're at different companies. But I'm at a company now that I get paid pretty fairly and for my work. So that has helped, obviously, a lot in paying back my debt.
That's amazing. Last time we talked, you didn't quite understand how much debt you had. You were like, it just comes through and I just pay it. I don't know what my debt is. What have you learned?
I think that after our conversation, actually, you know, when you start talking about something, you realize that it's probably not great that you don't know how much debt you owe and that you just kind of pay things and you have no control over it. So I think actually the conversation was sort of therapeutic in that sense, where I had this realization that I should really take control of that. And I remember you also showed me debt spreadsheet that you had put together where you were like, oh, these are all the financial institutions and this is my debt and this is my rate and all this stuff. And so that was actually kind of an inspiring spreadsheet where I was like, I should actually do this perhaps. And I think for so long, I was so afraid of my debt. I didn't want to look at the numbers. I was like, the numbers, especially when you're starting out, you're 18, 19, and you start to look at this debt where you're like, you know, $50,000, like, how do I even get that money when you're getting paid $5 an hour? So I think now with sort of career progression and just salary increase, I felt more compelled to sort of take that on. And so since we had talked, I put together the spreadsheet where I documented everything. And I was like, oh, this is actually not that bad. It doesn't seem unmanageable. And then I started looking into refinancing. So that sort of helps me have a lot more control over what I owe and an understanding of what I owe on a monthly basis. And I also get a lower interest rate, right? So I think that actually helped me a lot to really understand what I owe and also just have control over what I owe.
Last time we talked, you didn't quite know what was going on with your loans. You had loans in all different places. You didn't know the interest rate. Did you end up refinancing your loans?
Yeah, I have the document up right now. Let me just look at this.
Tell me what they were, because now I'm interested because you didn't have any understanding. So tell me about your loans.
So at some point I have one private loan, which I think was the killer for me. And it was at a variable rate at 11.25%. So that was the highest interest rate student loan. And I remember when I was looking, it was sort of, I remember like a panic loan that I was like, oh, I really have to get a loan so I can go to class again in the next semester. So I remember taking that loan and being like, I'm not going to do much research into this and just try to get the money that I need. And then I have, you know, Sallie Mae, which is actually the interest rate was much higher than I thought. It was like 10.75%, but it's at a fixed rate. And I paid off Sallie Mae. When I looked at my amount, the remaining amount, it was $1,000. So I think I just tried to pay that off in that month or something. Mm-hmm. So I don't owe Sallie Mae anymore. And then there's another, I don't know if this is a bank or not, but Great Lakes is, like, I think it's my public loans.
Great Lakes is just the servicer for a federal loan.
Okay, yeah. So that was my lowest interest rate, like at 5%. So yeah, I was able to refinance everything. And actually my monthly payment was $775, which I had no idea. Honestly, I was just paying $300, $500 here and there, which is an embarrassing thing to say at this point in my life. But yeah, so I was paying $775 altogether, and now I pay, I believe it's around like $400 a month by refinancing.
What is your rate now, and who are you refinanced with?
I did a good amount of research. I used a product called NerdWallet, and I was looking up student loan refinancing options, and Citizens Bank was the one that came up as one of the better ones, especially with some, I think for someone who was kind of starting out doing refinancing and paying back. And my rate now is 6%.
Oh, wow. Is it that rate because do you have bad credit? I can't quite remember.
I actually also worked on my credit and have a very good credit score now. But at the time that we talked, I had bad credit. And I think it was just a lack of really taking any control over my credit. But yeah, it's slightly higher than the Federal Great Lakes is, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like it was overall lower than, you know, what I was paying average wise. So ended up accepting that 6% rate.
What are some of the things that you did to get your mm-hmm. credit to be better?
I went through the same process of refinancing my credit cards. I also consolidated everything and made it just one payment a month, because I was also looking at my interest rates for my credit cards, and they run at, you know, anywhere from 15 to like 20-30%. So I refinanced, and my rate now is 12.5.
Both of your loans still seem really high to me, because I refinanced my loans, and I was in the process of refinancing my loans when I talked to you last time, but I refinanced and I got 2.55%.
Like, oh, wow.
Was there anything that was surprising for you in the last 2 years with regards to your loans that you learned?
Yeah, I was actually surprised at how easy the process was. Refinancing, it just seemed impossible. I mean, for me, it was just overwhelming, impossible monster that I couldn't deal with. So just having the mindset of managing it really changed my approach. I think I was just surprised actually at how easy it was. I mean, the lump sum that we're talking about with the private loan just like came in my inbox. And next thing I knew, I was like, oh, I'm $20,000 richer that I can now just use to pay back all my credit cards. But all of this stuff that I thought was just an impossible thing became really easy. And yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it was just doing that Google search of just how to pay back your student loans. And a lot of resources for folks like me who had bad credit. I felt like the bad credit was never going to get me anywhere, even towards being able to repay my student loans in a manageable way. So I felt like obviously there are really great options for people who have good credit, but there are also options for people who don't have great credit. But being able to refinance actually put me on the path to having good credit. So I feel set up for success from that perspective. I mean, bad credit, I don't know if you've ever had bad credit, but it's really painful. It's just like, I felt like I couldn't even live in an apartment without having a roommate or someone who had good credit, right? I couldn't even live somewhere because I didn't have the credit. So that was always just kind of a cloud over my shoulders or my head or whatever the thing is called. But I felt like, yeah, it was just a better life for myself and a more financially like independent life.
Do you have an image in your head about what your debt is?
You know, in horror movies, when you look at the medicine cabinet and it's a mirror and you open it and then you close it and there's someone there and it's like, ah, it's like that for me. But I feel like there are less moments where I feel scared. Now I'm not scared anymore. It does feel like something that is just, that does follow me, you know? So that's kind of what I'm getting with that metaphor. But it doesn't feel like an evil like spirit anymore. It feels just a person that follows me around. Not a friend. Definitely not a friend.
It's really fun listening to like the thing visualized. For me, I just imagined that I was walking down a very, very dark hallway, and at the end of the hallway, I knew I was going to get punched in the face by a very strong thing. But it was just this anticipation. And now that I've paid off my debt, I don't know. I thought I was going to feel better, to be honest. I thought that I was going to feel some relief and that I was going to feel free. And I do feel free, but I think I need to process some of the trauma of this persistent needing to keep my head above water and just treading water to stay above the debt.
I mean, I think there's a lot to learn too from seeing how your parents dealt with debt and money. Like, I feel like my family is split into two. My mom and myself, I think, want to deal with our debt and want to be able to be financially independent. And the other side of my family, my dad and my younger sister, I feel like they're like still drowning in debt. They just continue to drown. And those are just kind of like two sides of my family that kind of just persist. And I do feel incredibly lucky to have a job that I could help me pay back these student loans. I mean, you have to have extra income, right? Like income that outside of everything else you pay for your immediate needs. And I felt like I had been operating on like immediate needs, like just salary. And now that I can get paid a little bit more, I can actually, it feels like I have excess that I can actually put towards student loans, pay more than I want, than the minimum and all these things.
Do you want to add anything to your story that's different now that within the last 2 years?
I mean, the only thing different about my story is that I have a different job or that I live in a new city, but I think sometimes living in a new city can also reset your expectations or reset who you want to be. And I think that sort of helped me. I had been wanting to move to New York for a very long time. And I think I had just been feeling really stuck for a while and probably just depressed, which is why I didn't even want to deal with my financial situation. And so I think having moved to a new city, I was like, oh, this is a new start. And so it sort of pumps you up for like trying to be different, trying to build better habits and all these things. So yeah, I think it's just been so helpful to, I mean, talk to you about it. It's honestly such a awkward thing to talk about. And I think, I mean, it's probably the point of your podcast, but it's just been, it was really therapeutic to just talk to you about it and hear your story and to hear that, you know, I mean, even hearing today about how your interest rates are much lower than mine, I'm like, oh, wow, I probably should have like pushed a little harder. You know, all these things that you just don't have any knowledge. You don't talk to people about this on a day-to-day basis, so you don't know what to expect. So yeah, it does kind of bring it out of the woodworks a lot more.
Yeah, the point of this is, for me right now, is to just understand and learn more about student loans, but also to demystify and take some of that monsteriness, weightiness out of the darkness that is student loans. Because yeah, people might be talking about it in different places or complaining about it, but I feel hearing actual stories is really, really helpful. Not just getting 5 tips and tricks that you can do to get out of debt. It's sort of, well, maybe I can relate to this other person and understand through their story. First, I'm not alone, because there are 44.2 million, I think, or maybe even more at this point, people who have student debt. So we're not alone, but we need solutions. And so I think my goal is trying to figure out where the problems lie, what kind of problems are out there. I'm just in learning mode. So I'm going to ask you a question I asked maybe last time. Do you have any new advice because of what you have learned in these last 2 years?
I don't know. I think if I'm getting a little bit like, oh, I've been going to therapy for years now, it's just that like your worth is not built up in like where you go to school or what you did in school. And it's really just a lifelong journey. So don't let money sort of destroy your life, and don't let some sort of like societal opinion about like where you should be in life at that time determine your finances and your life. So that's maybe to college students or high school students. Yeah, that like also, I don't know. Like I think from like the first time we talked, I think I would be seriously consider going to a community college, at least for the first 2 years, to get your general education, and don't pay so much money at a private school, especially if you know that you're going to be putting yourself through school. It's just, I don't feel it was worth it at all. And I think that there are also alternative methods of education now, online education, that just is a lot less expensive than some of the just like how much tuition is for private schools. It's honestly like I think about it, I'm like, what a racket. I was like, I wish I would, if I knew what I knew now, I would never go back to private school. So yeah, I would just tell myself to really think about like what $50,000 means a semester, right? Like that's versus $5,000. And yeah, learning doesn't just start and end during college. Like you can take your time to figure it out, whether you want to go to college or whether there are other ways to learn the things that you want to learn, especially with the internet. I don't know anymore if college is sort of the way we should do things. I do think that like, there are alternative ways to get to a place where you're happy and you have a career and it's not through a very expensive school.
Yeah, Google took away the requirement for a degree to work there.
Yeah, I mean, some of the smartest people that, I mean, we've worked with are not necessarily people who went to some fancy school. It's all of that has just been like completely demystified. Like for some reason, coming out of high school, I thought that I, you know, if you don't go to Harvard, like nothing matters type of thing. I mean, I obviously didn't go to Harvard, but
we watched too much Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
I just rewatched the Gilmore Girls and I'm like, oh, this prevalence of you have to go to Harvard, you have to go to Yale. It's super important for you to be this. And then if, I mean, I'm going on a Gilmore Girls tangent, but she in the return season that they did on Netflix, she was 32 years old and still was like aimless, you know? So like,
yeah. No, I mean, none of it really matters. I mean, you can throw, if your parents can help you throw a bunch of money towards it, like go for it. But if you're putting yourself through school, like I think that there are a lot of different options. And I mean, it's, although, you know, it's really easy to like, I think we watch so many teen TV shows where people just casually go to Stanford or casually go to Harvard. And there's no discussion as to, I mean, how did Rory pay for that?
No, so her grandparents were super rich and they paid for it, and then her father's parents died and he had a bunch of money, so he ended up paying for it.
Oh, I mean, that's a pretty perfect scenario. That's definitely not the case for everybody. Yeah.
Everything is more complicated than it is shown on television, and we should definitely not take our cues from societal sort of norms. We need to investigate, look inside ourselves and say, hey, why am I trying to make this choice? Is it because I'm trying to work towards a goal? Is it because I'm trying to build a dream? What are all the other things that I could do to get to that goal or dream?
Honestly, like, it's silly to think of now, but when I was, you know, a senior in high school thinking about where I wanted to go to college, all I was looking at was the acceptance rate. I don't know if it was just like something that my high school was just really into about like where you're going to college, but it was just about like, ooh, what's the hardest school that you can get into to go there? And yeah, I would definitely advise to not live by those standards anymore.
So we've come to the end. This is just a quick check-in. Mm-hmm. This isn't a normal full, it'll be a mini episode.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. Matter of Life and Debt is produced by me, Nikki Nolan. Special thanks to F.A. Achman for creating the music and mastering the audio. Additional support and thanks to Emma Klauber, who writes the information and transcripts about each episode. This podcast would not be possible without them. Visit our website for more information, matteroflifeanddebt.com, where you can listen, read transcripts, get additional context of the subjects you just heard about, subscribe absolutely for free. That website again, matteroflifeanddebt.com. Thanks again for listening.